The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. The NCAA tournament getting ready to start this week. All right, well, we have any upsets? Do we have any upsets in mind? We'll talk about that coming up next. And again, does this tournament become a parade of thought about Zion Williamson? And I really hope it doesn't. I think there's a lot of good basketball players that are in this. I think there's a lot of good teams that are in this. I think this is the one tournament where you want to just experience the basketball, and I think it really doesn't become about one individual. We've had tournaments where that has happened, and we've had tournaments where it's been more open, and you've seen a lot of bevy of basketball. And I hope this doesn't become a Zion Williamson tournament, but I'm afraid it's going to, because that's the kind of presence that has in college basketball. That's the kind of personality and sort of foresight, if you will, looking ahead to the NBA draft, looking ahead to his impact in the NBA, that you're going to get in this tournament every time Duke plays. Listen, this is a wide open field, if you will, based on the 8 or 9 teams that are really talented enough to win this. But it's still going to be Duke. It's still going to be the focus on Duke. If Duke loses this, Duke loses this. It's going to be, that's where this tournament could be defined. If they win it, obviously it'll be about a Zion Williamson parade. But going back to when he got injured and stepped out, and many of us were saying, well, should he shut it down? You don't get to do this in your life. You don't get to experience what he's going to experience for possibly the next 3 weeks. Who knows? There might be an upset early, but you never know. You don't get to experience this in your career. And this is so unique. What he's about to journey on is a very, very unique experience that a lot of players don't get to do. And a lot of players who've gotten to do it have experienced some real disappointment and then just said, boogie on to the NBA. Ben Simmons never got to experience. He did not make the NCAA tournament in his 1 year at LSU. We've seen Kentucky players not win the championships. Seen Kentucky players end it in round two, end it in round three, whatever it is. Zion Williamson, if he wins a championship with Duke, forever solidifies his place at Duke for a very short amount of time and gets to experience something in the basketball world, in the resume of his basketball career, that he would never get to experience. And he'll make the money, but being in the NCAA tournament and making a run in that championship with Duke, that you can't put a price tag on that. And good luck to him.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you can be with us here on SB Nation AM. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Also, hit Ron up at Ron Culver. And you can spell that Ron with 2 N's, please. Spell it with 2 N's. Are your credit card bills stressing you out? Call the credit card debt hotline today and learn how to reduce your payments to a fraction of what you owe. Call now for free advice, 800-514-9886. 800-514-9886. 86, 800-514-9886. Mock drafts in the NFL. They're fun to look at, right? I mean, you want to know what your team is thinking. You go to the guys that put this kind of stuff together. Oh, sure, you can't take it as gospel. Sure, you can't take it as real insight. Sometimes these are just guessing games, like when people give you their power rankings. But nevertheless, mock drafts are kind of fun. I started thinking about this yesterday. I was perusing through a couple. And do the mock drafts of the of a few guys, and there's been a number of them, tell us anything about where Dave Gettleman is going with the Giants? New York has two picks in the first round. They have the 6th pick and the 17th pick. And I looked at a couple of mock drafts and doing some, you know, top 10 research, if you will. And I started noticing that these mock drafts, which not long ago had the Giants taking Dwayne Haskins and possibly Drew Lock, are now leaning towards DJ Metcalf, Montez Sweat, Jonah Williams, if he's available, right? Devin White, if he's available. I started noticing that the Giants taking a quarterback has been taken off the board by the guys who follow this closely and put together these mock drafts. Guys you trust, if you will. Now, granted, some of these guys just throw darts at the board, see if it sticks. But some are doing their research. Some are making phone calls. Some are digging deep into some of these teams, especially in the top 10, as to where they're thinking, where they're aligning, who they like, where they're going. We know Dave Gettleman has been non-committal on his and being asked over and over again if the Giants are going to take a quarterback in the draft and who is going to be the successor to Eli Manning for the Giants offense. They need one. Manning is 38 years old. He is coming back for this season. But trading Odell Beckham means the team is in rebuilding mode and the team isn't planning on winning. It plans on figuring out where the next step is going to be. And that next step includes quarterback. Now, there's two things that I can take out of this. One, Gettleman knows where he wants to go with quarterback, and it's not in the first round of the draft. Either A, he's got somebody in mind that he can get in two or three, or B, he can trade for Josh Rosen and he knows it. Or C, which is more plausible, the mock drafts are just wrong. And Gettleman totally plans to take Dwayne Haskins. The mock drafts that changed this over the last week or so are just pegging at a thought, throwing something out there to see if it sticks. Gettleman is not tilted, you know, not showed his hand on this, which you would not want your general manager to do anyway. The New York media is going to pry, but he did make a point by saying, I don't owe anybody in the media an explanation for how I'm going to do things. And he doesn't. He owes the Giants an explanation on how he's going to do things. That's the Mara family and the people that write the checks. He doesn't owe the media, and he doesn't even know the fan base, even the people that buy season tickets, because he needs to do some of this secretly. But I go back to something we talked about last week with the trade of Odell Beckham. If the idea for the Giants is we're going to rebuild, if the idea for the Giants is we've got to go in this direction in terms of scrapping some salary, building our team back up again, finding a new approach to be competitive, we have to get Eli Manning off and into the pasture of retirement, and we have to bring in another young guy. Does that occur this year? If you bring in Josh Rosen via trade, what exactly do you plan to do with him? If you trade for anybody else in this league, and I don't even know some names that are about and about, but if you get a veteran in here, it could be anybody, what exactly would be the plan for that? Rosen could be an understudy, but in the end, this is a guy that started last season in the National Football League. He's not some rookie coming in. It'll be his second year, and he's still young, but he's not a rookie like a Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins. And by the way, if you take Drew Lock and Dwayne Haskins with the 6th pick overall, you give them the keys to the franchise as soon as you can. Usually a third-round pick, you can sort of nurture, let him grow into the position. Maybe you're a little nervous, don't want to take the training wheels off too soon. But if you expend a 6th-round pick, or even a 17th for that matter, on a quarterback in the first round, that guy is supposed to be able to take over your franchise as quickly as you can make it happen. Sometimes it takes getting a starter hurt and you got to bring in the guy in. Sometimes you make the announcement as quickly as possible. Sometimes you wait until the veteran inevitably struggles with a bad team, which is one of the reasons you got the first-round pick in the first place, or top first-round pick in the first place. Do the Giants do that with Eli Manning? Do they sit him down? This is a question I've been thinking about since we talked about it with the Odell Beckham trade. What exactly is it going to look like next year for a guy like Eli Manning to play for a team that is in sort of the rebuilding mode that they want to go to? What one point do you sit him down and say, it's now over? Remember, this is an organization that suffered a lot of heat when Bob McAdoo benched Eli Manning to break a streak for no reason whatsoever. For no reason at all. And benched him. Are they going to do that to him, or are they going to have him do it? Because it's going to happen. Unless Gettleman says, no, the plan is we're going to get through this season with Eli Manning. I don't know what our record's going to be. We're certainly going to try in every game. But in the end, we're not going to be competitive for a division or competitive for a championship. But the quarterback class I want to get into is next year. It's not this year. Justin Herbert, for example, possibly Tua. I mean, there's a lot of ways it could play out for the Giants next season. Sometimes, and I was talking about this with the Broncos the other day with a friend of mine. Joe Flacco in Denver, and I know some of you are like still perplexed as to why Elway would trade for Flacco. It looks more and more like Joe Flacco is not a bridge quarterback to the next guy. That right now he is the guy. He is the guy for the next couple of years. Because the Broncos don't look at the draft, and it's possible Elway, as much as he's in love with Drew Locke, might say, you know what? I'm going to take a Devin White at 10. I'm going to take a Greedy Williams at 10. My quarterback in the future is not yet on the board. The quarterback I want is not here. Because if I take Drew Locke in the first round, do I get put in the position of playing Drew Locke immediately? Do I get into a position of sort of ignoring why I'm paying $18 million to Joe Flacco in the first place? And if the guy I really want is available to me in year, you know, next year or the year after, what do I do with a 10th round pick that I've invested in a quarterback that I really didn't want in the first place? It's better to have a quarterback that you could start, play for a couple of years until the quarterback you really want is available. Dave Gettleman might actually be doing that with the Giants. Because you've got to somehow, listen, this is a tough league. And we've said this over and over again. This league will kick you out before you want to leave it. But the Giants can't disrespect Eli Manning like the way I'm envisioning it in 2019. Which is, have him play 6 games and get benched for Josh Rosen? Have him play 5 games until Dwayne Haskins is ready and then just put him in? This is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. All right? And we can go through the stats and all that. It doesn't matter. Eli Manning has a very, very, very special place for the Giant fan base. And you could be looking at a 2019 season in which that gentleman is going to be benched at some point for a younger quarterback, much to the relief of Giant fans who are going to be wanting to turn the page. But how is it going to look? Peyton certainly wasn't going to let that happen in Denver. He wasn't getting benched for Brock Osweiler all the way through. He wasn't going to go into the 2016 or 2015, I should say, and get benched for Trevor Siemian or somebody else when inevitably the torch needed to be passed. Gettleman could be waiting this out a little bit. Now, again, I go back to the mock drafts. They could be dead wrong, but are they telling me enough of where the Giants are going in the future? Go back to what Ron and I were talking about with Blake Bortles. There's just a small handful of people that can do this well. It's possible that the evaluation of the quarterbacks coming into the draft are good quarterbacks, serviceable quarterbacks, but may not be what some of these teams are really looking for to take the label of franchise quarterback. I thought Gettleman said something very interesting when he was talking to the media in New York about this. And he said, look, I need to make sure I've got the right guy to take over this position for this iconic franchise. Right? He knows who that being the New York Giants quarterback in New York City is not something you just hand to some guy. It has to be a guy that's special enough to warrant that. And maybe he's looking at the quarterbacks that are coming out and doesn't see it. You know, maybe it's Kyler Murray, but he knows he can't get him. But maybe he looks at Dwayne Haskins and Drew Locke and says, well, maybe not. Maybe I'll wait. Wait this one out until somebody else is available. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But again, mock drafts can tell you absolutely nothing. So Put that in the back burner too. All right, 800-777-2907. All of the good, the bad, and the dumb coming also up in this hour. But coming up, what the fans in Boston did for Isaiah Thomas, and will we see more of that kind of thing from fans as the NBA continues along with its season? That's next, SB Nation AM.
Hi, it's Mike Herzum. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Folks, if your vehicle is less than 10 years old, you have a tire pressure monitoring system. When one of your tires gets low, a little picture of a flat tire lights up on your dash. Our tires lose a little air every month, and these sensors remind us when they get low. If you're driving along and the light comes on, you most likely just ran over something and your tire's going flat. You should pull over and check, because if that tire blows, you can lose control and have a bad accident. These sensors, folks, can be real lifesavers. Tire stores and auto chefs will check your tires and tire pressures for free, so please do it. All you have to do is stop in and ask them. We really should be checking them every month. And the sensors fail sometimes, too. They have batteries inside, and they just last about 8 or 9 years. Tire shops can replace them, so it's no big deal. The main thing is to be safe. It's Mike Herskin, Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's the new letstalkwheels.com.
Each spring, we lose an hour of sleep in the name of daylight savings time. But who needs rest when you've got a new Jeep SUV? Come in to the Jeep Freedom Days sales event now for great deals that more than make up for 60 minutes of not snoozing. Go anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler, Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. Travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Take in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. And push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's 31 MPG highway. So hurry in for great deals at the Jeep Freedom Days sales event, or you'll miss out on more than just an hour of rest. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us on SB Nation AM as we roll along here on a Tuesday morning. Don't get stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts to get your battery tested. It's free of charge. One of the many services available. And if your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. How great is that? O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Did you see the Isaiah Thomas tribute the Boston Celtics had for Isaiah last night when the Nuggets went to go visit? That was very nice of them.
It was.
They played while he was during one of the timeouts of the game last night against the Nuggets. Celtics had a highlight reel of Isaiah Thomas, which was really cool because Isaiah said something after the game I thought was really cool. He said, "I became a star in this league for playing for the Celtics." And he did. He really did. There was a time where he was exploding. And
well, we all expected big things from him.
Yeah. And then he got traded. His sister died. Remember his sister died? Yep. And it was very emotional. Then he got traded, and Kyrie came to town, and then he kind of was in Cleveland and got traded to the Lakers, and then they traded him to Denver. But now he's bounced around the league a little bit. But those were kind of the good moments. And I've always liked that. We don't see this very often in other sports. Like, we don't see, like, highlight videos. It seems like in the NBA, fans are, like, they're more willing to say, if you're a former player that left on good terms, you're not bitter or anything like that. We like to welcome you in, or if you're retiring, I like to welcome you in, do that kind of stuff. You see a little bit of it in baseball, but it seems like the NBA does a really good job with that. I never see it in hockey, and it may happen in hockey, but I think hockey's like, nah, get out, goodbye, thanks, appreciate it, leave. But I've seen a lot of these kind of things in the NBA, and it is kind of cool. It is kind of heartwarming. I kind of miss Isaiah Thomas when he was with the Celtics. It was kind of cool. I watched a lot of games. I had the NBA League Pass in 2017, so I watched a lot of games. And I Celtics games. I've always loved watching them. Or 2016, one of the years. My years are all getting bundled together, so I don't even know. But it was that was very, very nice. Did you see the women's bracket got released on ESPNU yesterday?
Yes.
Ha, 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 ha.
I mean, I didn't watch it.
Too bad. I know, I saw this story. Somebody leaked the women's bracket on television. God, this is what's so fun. The people are outraged by this. Stop. It's first of all, the releasing of the bracket is only a television show because you made it a television show.
Well, no,
it's really a news event, right?
No, the releasing of the bracket is CBS's birth of saying, how can we squeeze some money
exactly.
in something so mundane? It literally is shows what we're willing to watch.
Yeah. This is not a birthright to get the bracket released in a dramatic half-hour television show.
No, you remember
the bracket can be released in a press release.
And that's right? how it was in the past. Yeah, all of a sudden, it's like, boom, here's the bracket.
Boom, here's your 64 teams or your 32 teams back in the 80s.
In fact,
right?
I remember
in the early 80s. Here's your bracket.
I remember, you know, they would release the bracket, and then they would just have a show after where the guys, you know, it was like the instant gut reaction, and I was fine with that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all I really wanted was just release the bracket, show us all 64 teams or all 68 teams now. And that way we can just, you know, then have the analysts just pick at it and just give us the instant gut reaction. Because, you know, they're going to change their mind. Like, we're changing our mind constantly.
All the time. So, yeah, I mean, people are like, I can't believe it. What do you mean you can't believe this? It's a television show. Somebody made a mistake. It happens more than you know. Right. And so but the funny thing was, like, here in Tennessee, we knew the Lady Vols were going to get in, but we didn't know where. Like, and that was one of the leaks that came out on the TV. So immediately the local Twitter was a buzz that the Lady Vols were in the tournament before they would announce it. They ended up moving up the selection show because of it. But, oh, God. The brackets got released. The men's bracket got released a couple of years ago. Somebody found it and leaked it. Was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
2017.
Where CBS, I believe it was last year.
Well, somebody got hacked and they basically posted it online. Might have been.
It feels like it was last year.
My years get all compressed into one big pile of time. But yeah, and then, you know, it just, sometimes it happens, right? Sometimes it happens. This is what happens when you take this could have been released without any fanfare. You tried to create fanfare, and then people think this is how it's supposed to be done. It's really a bonus that we get to have sort of a fun, dramatic way of seeing a tournament bracket. When in reality, again, boom, here you go. Like, think about the baseball, for example, like college baseball. Who's in the super regional? Not the regionals, but the NCAA tournament. Like, that's just, boom, here's a list. I don't even think they put on a show for that because not a lot of people follow college baseball. But it is big in the Southeast, but they don't have a big show for it. They just go, here's your teams. Congratulations, all involved. So, and by the way, when did we do a women's reveal? Is that relatively new?
I didn't know we did.
I didn't either.
I'm sure we have because,
that's gotten,
you know,
bigger and bigger and bigger.
Equality.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, as far as when you look at the women's bracket, you can probably look at it and go, okay, I mean, obviously I know these schools, but be honest with you, I might know how four to eight of these teams actually play.
Oh, you think the men's tournament is like eight teams deep? The women's tournament is like two, three teams deep.
I don't know. This year, did you see the big...
UConn got a two seed.
UConn got a two seed.
I thought
they were a perennial number one. I thought they, you know, you fill out your bracket with them winning it year after year after year.
Isn't that just them going, let's make other people more on top of this food chain than UConn? There's no way UConn is a two seed.
But
is that really?
By that rationale, is, you know, when you look at it, are they the fifth seeded team in the tournament then?
Yeah, exactly. Are they really a five?
And they got, it was a coin flip between them and whoever. I don't even know who the number ones are.
I don't know. I think Baylor is one and Mississippi State's
another. Tennessee still relevant?
No, they're terrible. they're not very good at all. No, they had a terrible year.
They disgraced the good name of Pat Summitt.
This is how far women's basketball has come, by the way. Like, there are people, and again, living here, there are people screaming for Holly Warlick to get fired. I didn't even know her name. Like,
That's Tennessee's coach?
That's Tennessee's head coach.
I
started seeing columns, people writing columns in the paper that the time has come for Holly Warlick to go as the women's basketball coach at Tennessee.
Wow.
And I was like, God, I need to follow this closely.
It's a little harsh.
I recognize the name, but if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, I think it's Holly Warlick, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't follow it at all. But, like, I know Gino Auriemma, and that's really it. You know, and that's really it. But I guess people tell me that it's getting better. Like Notre Dame is really good and Mississippi State's really good and whatnot. So, but they leaked the bracket and people are mad. Oh, don't be mad. Just enjoy it. Just have fun, for crying out loud. Oh, by the way, I was doing some radio in Denver yesterday, and I worked with Orlando Franklin of the Denver Broncos, former offensive lineman. He's never filled out a bracket in his entire life. And I told him he was lying. I said, there's no way that's true. And he said, no, that is true. I've never filled out a basketball bracket. I said, never? Really? Like in the NFL, you guys never did like a little pool amongst your gang? You never did, never got together with friends and filled one out? He goes, no. He goes, I didn't even know how it worked. He goes, I filled it out. And then online, I did this for a station and I filled it out. But I didn't think I had to fill out the second round. I came back to it. So he only filled out the first games and then he stopped. He didn't fill out all the way to a champion. I go, you're the only person in the country, I think, who thinks it works that way. That's unique. You're a unicorn. Nobody I know has never filled out a bracket before.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb as we bring it to you on a Tuesday. So the good today, Mr. Culver.
The good today, there were two videos that came to my attention yesterday, and I absolutely fell in love with them.
Okay.
And it's teams mimicking movies. I know you've seen these style of things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there's two that stuck out my mind that were just fantastic. And I don't know if you've seen them. If not, I will send them to you. The first one was the Browns doing an Avengers-style hype video.
No, I never saw that one. That sounds interesting.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, first of all, you know, sidebar here. The latest Avengers trailer looks good.
It does look good.
Looks so good.
It does look good. I just saw that the other day. That does look really good.
My nerd fandom was on peak. But so the music and some of the voices throughout that trailer, they put to the Browns. And showing,
oh, that's
and basically, because if you remember the trailer was showing the past.
Right.
Right. So the Browns did the same exact thing. They were showing their past. And it was interceptions. It was field goals being blocked. It was just horrific looking plays from the past, you know, since 99. How we know who the Browns are. And then there's this moment in the real Avengers trailer where it kind of shifts and shows that, okay, you know what? They're going to start fighting back. And that's when it shifts to show all the new Browns. You know, Baker Mayfield, Chubbs. I mean, it's a really well done hype video.
That's pretty cool.
And then obviously, you know, culminates with Odell Beckham Jr. And so I have to give the props. I don't know who created it. It's fantastic. And the other movie video that
can I just ask a question about, yes, Avengers Endgame, since you're a little bit more knowledgeable.
I'm kind of a nerd in that
the
area.
The one
sure.
thing that I didn't that I the trailer shows Captain America saying
whatever people it takes.
People move on, but not us.
Right.
But I have a question. Why would you think, after seeing all of these people disintegrate in front of your eyes, why would you think there was a part two to that? Like, why? Okay, so I'm assuming that they're trying to get their friends back.
Right.
How do you know there's a place to get them back from?
No, they're not. They're not trying to. It's not.
Well, what are they fighting against?
Right now, it's not that they're they're not trying to fight to get their friends back, because I don't know if they know if that's possible.
That's what I'm getting at. Like,
I think what it is.
What are they fighting for?
They're avenging. For them.
What? So they're going to go after the guy who did that?
Yes.
That snapped his fingers?
Yep.
And made that
happen?
They're
going to go after
Thanos. So they're not trying to get the people that died back. Like
they're not going to go after Spider-Man.
Because I'm thinking
Doctor
that
Strange,
if you just watch somebody turn into ash, you're like, that's done.
I think whole purpose, and eventually probably through the film, it'll probably show that they found a way to...
Right,
get
but they
back,
don't
obviously.
Know that.
They
don't know that yet.
I don't think
unless
they know that. I think
them.
It's them just going off and just avenging the deaths
of
their comrades.
Gotcha. Okay, because I'm like, okay. I thought it was, you know, okay, yeah, why wouldn't you move on, though? If you, people die, they die.
So, yeah.
I don't know. So
but
anyway,
the other video.
Thank you for clarifying that because you know more about it than I do.
The other video that I probably will have to show you is the Brewers.
I heard of this, but I didn't see the video. I saw this on Twitter.
I think they're the Cleveland Browns of Major League Baseball. Where
they could be.
They're just a fun team. They did a Mean Girls tribute
to
welcoming in Yasmani Grandel.
Nice, very good. Yeah, I saw this on Twitter and I didn't see it.
I don't know if you remember the movie Mean Girls, but there's a cafeteria scene where it's like, oh, you can go to this table, you can go to that table, you can go sit here, you go sit here. And Yasmani Grandel has to make a choice of which table he's going to sit with. My favorite part is when it's like, oh, you can go sit with the MVPs, and it's Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich.
it's pretty cool.
The fact that they can say you can go sit with the MVPs, and like, oh, I forgot you have two of them.
That's right.
But a lot of times that, you know, when you see these videos, they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And you're just like, oh, God, why are you doing that? It's not, you know, it's goofy, doesn't come off that great. But every once in a while you get a good one. And these two were, dare I say, highlights yesterday when I was, you know, just perusing Twitter. I was like, God, these are actually really funny.
Check those out. You should send them on Twitter. Put them up on Twitter.
Okay.
You should. Cause then I can take a look at them. Some other people could take a look at them. Cause I saw the Brewers one, but I didn't know the Browns did an Avenger one. That's pretty cool. All right. So what is the bad?
The
for
bad
this
of the day, Tony, how much would you buy a pigeon for?
Buy a pigeon?
Buy a pigeon.
Zero. They're all over New York. You can just grab one.
Yeah, but what if it's a special racing pigeon?
If it's a racing pigeon, maybe $50.
Okay. Well, you would not be in the bidding war then for what is the Lionel Messi of racing pigeons.
Okay, so
he's being touted.
Is there racing pigeons? Is that
a
thing?
I guess so. I'm learning about this too. But I guess this is Belgium's best long-distance racer of all time. And a Chinese buyer snapped him up for, would you like to take a guess at how much he paid for this pigeon?
I would say over $500,000.
You're right. It's $1.4 million.
For a racing pigeon?
For a racing pigeon. This is, some people just have money they don't care about, right?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, are you getting your money back with pigeon racing? Is that a thing?
I have no idea.
It's one thing to pay $1.something million for a racehorse that can win you the Triple Crown, but I don't know if racing pigeon is a thing, but maybe it is.
Yeah, the pigeon's name is Armando.
I don't like to pretend I'm a world traveler.
He is considered to be the best long-distance pigeon of all time.
Okay, now we're talking long-distance races? What are we talking about?
Well, that's long-distance racing.
Okay.
You know, I guess I still don't get how pigeons can be trained. First of all, I'm beyond that. I'm sorry. To me, I've always referred to them as city chickens.
Remember when you were a kid and Bert did the on Sesame Street? He did the pigeon.
Yeah,
remember he was doing the pigeon because they lived in New York City and they're everywhere in New York City.
And I don't.
That's
get
why he
how,
did that because that's where they lived.
Yeah, I never understood how like World War I or World War II, they used them to send messages.
That's amazing.
I don't know how you train a pigeon to fly from like Paris to London.
Oh, that's
crazy. What it feels like. I think that's what. I don't know if that's what they did. But
well, passenger pigeons are supposed to be pigeons that go out and know their way back.
Yeah,
so you can send them out and they go someplace and then they know how to get back to your house.
But when you watch it, I mean, how? I don't know. I don't get it.
That's impressive.
It's beyond me. But
I don't know anything about birds. You know, a couple of years ago, I remember being on my back patio reading a book, and it was a beautiful spring day, and it was the afternoon, and my dog was running around the backyard, and I was reading a book, and I was drinking a soda, and just having a really enjoying time. And I saw this oriole that landed on my patio porch.
And you immediately assumed it's from Baltimore.
I did.
Yep.
I did. I immediately said, "Wow, that's a long way from Baltimore." And I literally thought that. And I was like,
I do the same thing with Cardinals.
What? And then I had to stop myself and go, no, moron. That's just the name of the baseball team. It doesn't mean all Orioles are from Baltimore. They just happen to pick a bird and it's an Oriole and that's what they named it. But I literally was like, wow, he's a long way from Baltimore.
No, I'm exactly with you. I believe
moron.
I believe all Cardinals come from the
Same thing.
I should say the Cardinals come from Chicago, right?
Right, sure.
Because then they moved to St. Louis.
They all migrated to St. Louis and bred there.
And I promise you, there's none in Arizona.
That's very true. All right, what is the dumb today?
The dumb of the day, there's a matchmaking service called Seeking Arrangements.
Oh, this is going to be good.
And I don't know if it's going to be good, Tony. Don't hype it up too much there.
Okay.
But they recently listed the top universities with the most sugar babies.
Okay, refresh my vernacular. What is sugar baby?
A sugar baby. I'm glad you put that because I wrote down the definition just for this occasion.
Okay.
A sugar baby is a person who is in a specific type of transactional sex relationship for the express purpose of achieving economic security. So basically what it is, it's these women who are in college who define themselves as sugar babies because they have someone taking care of them while they are in school.
Gotcha. I got it. Okay. So basically it's women who have sugar daddies are called sugar babies.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. I feel like I needed to tread water with this, but go ahead.
But, why is my phone not working right now? I hate that. But the top school, I guess, if you are seeking to become a sugar baby, it would be Georgia State.
Georgia State in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, who are in the NCAA tournament, have all the sugar babies.
They have the most.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
The most sugar babies. Florida and Florida State rank up there. I'm trying to find the list.
If you were a real sugar baby, would you tell people you were a sugar baby, or would you just keep it on the down?
Some of them brag about it. There was one that they interviewed, and she was talking about all the vacations she's been to the Bahamas, she's been to Cancun, and she just stopped short of saying what she's had to do to achieve.
So these are wealthy men,
yep,
who need companionship. And they get the companionship with a younger college age girl, they shower them with gifts, and they pay their way through school, and in return they get
Here's the top five universities. So if you're wanting to major in sugar babyism or sugar baby 101, the top five universities you probably should be looking at. Number one is Georgia State University. They have more than 1,300 students registered as sugar babies.
Oh, come on. Now, don't register. That's ridiculous. No,
this is how they did it. They had to register with their school email so that way they could determine which university actually is legitimately tops. So the top five rounded out Georgia State, number one.
By the way, real quick, I got to think the IRS has something to say about all of this.
Probably.
Yeah, like you can't showered with financial gifts without the IRS going, you'll be paying taxes on this.
You and I know millennials don't care.
No, hold
They're
on.
Not if thinking you're about
this,
that.
Don't register for this. You don't need to be getting a call.
Coming in number two, University of Central Florida.
Yeah, UCF is a large school. They're in the NCAA tournament too.
Followed by Alabama.
They're not. They're in the NIT.
Florida State University, and then Florida.
Yeah, both of those are in the NCAA. So four of the five are in the NCAA tournament registering sugar babies.
Yep.
Wonderful.
One of them is basically a vocational school for NFL stardom. National champions, by the way, in that list.
I now can tell my wife that she cannot brag about the academic requirements at the University of Florida if they are in the top five of sugar babies.
Well, you're going to have to go to her. Okay. I guess by this rationale, this definition probably makes you a sugar daddy.
Possible. Maybe.
You can go to her and tell her now.
I'm not too sure, but don't tell me now. Don't tell me it's the Harvard of the South, okay? If you're registering sugar babies.
Yeah, she.
Oh, that's interesting.
She has to agree with you.
Don't register. Just keep it on the down low and keep your gifts quiet. That's how real people do it. Stop! Oh my God, you people, you're gonna get in trouble.
What happened to
777-2907? It's Espionation AM.
What happened to the good old days of just women just working at clubs to earn their way through college?
Huh.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, did you know the Major League Baseball season, Ron, starts on Wednesday? Did you know this?
Which Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Tomorrow?
Like tomorrow.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Doesn't it usually start in, like, end of March?
It's starting tomorrow. The Seattle Mariners and the A's are in Tokyo.
Okay.
And they've got a two-game series in Tokyo, and these are regular season games. How did this slip my radar?
But
these aren't spring training exhibition games. These count as regular season games.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb then. So they're going to have regular season games, and then they'll more than likely go back to spring training?
Well, I'm looking it up now. By the way, this is a failure on my part that I'm willing to admit. This was not on my radar at all.
No, it wasn't.
At all. If you had told me when does baseball start, I would have said, I don't know, in a week or so, a week and a half.
No, usually starts around the around March Madness final.
And I'm perusing through my research, and I discover that the Mariners and the A's are in Tokyo. And I go, oh, that's kind of cool. I thought they were there for exhibition games. There was some interesting article. There was some interesting thing about the game, and I was reading it, and they said this is the regular season opener. And I went, no, I didn't. So I looked up the Mariners website, and sure enough, it is. So the Mariners and the A's are playing tomorrow at 4. It's 4:30 a.m., by the way. So tomorrow, when just before we get on, the A's and the Mariners will be underway in Tokyo. They'll play again Thursday morning. The series will then end. And now I'm looking up to see when they'll return to action. And nothing this weekend. I got to think that they would go back to, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have another minor league teams that will be playing some games.
Yeah, but you don't bring the stars, right?
Games, no. Like,
Felix Hernandez isn't going to go pitch there.
Yes. Felix Hernandez is starting.
What?
Yes. Felix Hernandez. No, hold on. I'm sorry. Marco Gonzalez is getting the start for Seattle. Mike Fiers is getting the start for Oakland. And then Thursday, it is, I don't know. I can't, it says undecided for Oakland. But I think, this is a regular season opener for both teams.
You know what? You learn something new every day, don't you?
Again, completely off my radar, and I didn't even know Major League Baseball was doing this.
No, because we don't think about it right now.
And here's the deal, and I read everything I possibly can, and I miss this. Major League Baseball, you did a terrible job of promoting this.
Yeah,
at least from my perspective. Maybe all of you knew that, and I'm the last one on the planet that knew baseball was starting tomorrow morning at 4:30. But if I'm not, then baseball did a terrible job of promoting this.
If that's true, you're the second to last.
Right.